This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فلما استيأسوا منه خلصوا نجيا. قال كبيرهم ألم تعلموا أن أباكم قد أخذ عليكم موثقا من الله ومن قبل ما فرطتم في يوسف فلن أبرح الأرض حتى يأذن لي أبي أو يحكم الله لي وهو خير الحاكمين. ارجعوا إلى أبيكم فقولوا يا أبانا إن ابنك سرق وما شهدنا إلا بما علمنا وما كنا للغيب حافظين. واسأل القرية التي كنا فيها والعير التي أقبلنا فيها وإنا لصادقون. قال بل سولت لكم أنفسكم أمرا فصبر جميل عسى الله أن يأتيني بهم جميعا إنه هو العليم الحكيم. وتولى عنهم وقال يا أسفا على يوسف وبيضت عيناه من الحزن فهو كظيم. قالوا تالله تفتأ تذكر يوسف حتى تكون حرضا أو تكون من الهالكين. We continue the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, and inshallah we're going to start from ayah number 80 today. In the last lesson, we learned that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he kept back his brother Binyamin by planning to accuse him of stealing something. And this was all pre-planned between him and his brother Binyamin. And basically, the plan went ahead. Binyamin was accused of stealing, and then he was taken into captivity because of the rules of the time that the person who is caught stealing, he becomes a slave of the victim of the theft. And this is basically how Binyamin was kept behind and the other brothers were let go. So the story continues that now the brothers have tried to try to persuade Yusuf alayhi salam to let their brother go, but Yusuf is saying, no, I'm not going to let him go. If I do that, then obviously this will be a wrong on our part, that we are not punishing the criminal for the theft that he's committed. So we have to keep him in captivity and you have to go. So the next ayah that we're going to continue from today is that they have now lost hope in taking Binyamin back. And now they step outside and in seclusion they are talking amongst each other. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيًّا. When they lost hope from him, meaning when they lost hope from taking Binyamin back. So this word istayasa, it is from the root letter يَئِسَ. يَئِسَ means to lose hope, to be despondent. But istayasa, one of the rules in Arabic is that the more words you add, the more extra letters you add, two root letters, it gives more of a meaning. So the root letter is still ya'isa, but ista or istay, this extra letters, people who know Arabic will know the terminology, from mujarrad, three letters, only three letters, to what's known as mazid fi, three root letters plus additional letters. It gives the meaning of losing more than losing hope. They basically became very upset, very despondent, and you know, they lost hope completely and they are now completely confused. Now they don't know what to do. So when they had this feeling of losing hope, خلصوا نجيا, they basically set out and exited and they started talking amongst themselves. They had munajat, secret talks amongst themselves. So the word khalasu, it means they basically escaped outside. This is plural, and naji It is singular. So a person may think that how is it that khalasu is plural and naji is singular? So there are actually other examples of that found in the Quran, that we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ الْمَلَائِكَ, it is plural, and ظَهِيرٌ at the end is singular. So it means the angels after that become helpers. So why is it plural? Malaika is plural and ظَهِيرٌ is singular. The answer to that, the Mufassirin say, it means that the angels, in helping each other, they become like one unit. And because they become like one unit, then it is basically like they are one, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them in singular form. And there's another verse in the Quran which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is talking to his people and telling them the folly and the foolishness of worshipping statues. He says, فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوُّ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. They are all my enemy. So, إِنَّهُمْ, it is plural, referring to all the statues, but عَدُو, it is singular. So, basically, the meaning is that collectively, all of them, they are my enemy, as if they are one unit together. And my enmity towards them, it's as if they are one unit. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses singular terminology. So here, they khalasu najiya, they started talking amongst themselves in secret, again, as if they are one unit. That's why they have been described as being singular, even though they are plural. قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا وَمِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفٍ. So the eldest amongst them, he started talking the first. And he started saying that, do you not know that your father, he took a promise from you? He took a promise from you. And that promise was an oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. An oath keeping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a witness. وَمِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفٍ. And before this, you did a lot in terms of going to extremes with Yusuf, our brother. So it seems that he's guilty and he's upset. But if you really think about it, so what is, he says in the next verse, فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضَ حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لِي أَبِي أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. I'm going to stay outside wandering in the earth, in the desert, until my father gives me permission to come back, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes a decision for me, وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ, and he is the best of the judges. So really, this statement of his, it is full of guilt and remorse for what has been done before. But actually, there is a lot of blame game going on here, if you look at the wording carefully. And also, if you think about it, he's not really thinking about the feelings of the father. What he's doing, he is basically trying to escape from being blamed. If you look at the wording, what does he say? Did you not know that your father took a promise from you? Now, if you, many of you are parents here, and when the parents, the mother and the father, have a dispute about the trouble that a child is causing, the father says to the mother, look what your son is doing. Look what your son is doing. At that point, it's not my son, it's your son. Look what your son is doing right now. Take care of your son. He's fooling around. Or change the diaper of your daughter. Okay? She's messed up the diaper. So the wording that this brother is using said, your father took a promise from you. And مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفْ, and the extremes you went to in what you did with Yusuf. So he's, first of all, he's basically escaping from the fact that he's my father also, And he's also pointing the finger at all of the rest of the brothers that you did some wrong when it came to Yusuf. And then he says, I'm going to stay outside. I'm going to not go back home because I do not want to be blamed, basically. فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضَ حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لِي أَبِي I'm going to wander around on the earth until my father gives me permission or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a judgment for me and he is the best of the judges. Okay, so he doesn't think that the father, he's already lost two sons and now he will become the third. So his loss will make it even more difficult for the father, right? He doesn't think from that perspective. So this is again, if you look at the wording carefully, it seems like rather than feeling sorry for the father and feeling bad about the wrong that they've done with Yusuf, he is actually trying to save himself from being blamed by the father. So again, he says to them, irji'u ila abikum. Return to your father. Go back to your father. Again, not my father in this case, not our father, but go back to your father. فَقُولُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّ ابْنَكَ سَرَقْ And tell him, all of you tell him, that your son, he stole. Again, your son. Not our brother stole, but your son stole. وَمَا شَهِدْنَا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ And we do not witness except for what we know, and we are guardians of the unseen. Meaning what we witnessed with our eyes was that the cup came out of the baggage, of the luggage and the backpack of our brother Binyamin. And basically it seems that he actually stole. So we cannot say anything contrary to that. He must have been the thief. He must have stolen it. And we cannot stick up for him in this particular case because all of the fingers and all of the evidence is pointing against him. وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ And if there's anything unseen and something which is different to this, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And to provide further proof, وَاسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّا فِيهَا وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا And if the father objects, then tell him to ask the village in which we were in, and the caravan in which we came. So first of all, can you ask a village? A village is a collection of houses, a collection of properties in a small place. So you cannot ask a village. So what it means is ask the dwellers of the village that, they are the witnesses of this. But also there's a fine meaning that some Mufassirin have said. And that is that we are so sure that we are telling you the truth that even the houses of the village and the stones of the village and the trees of the village, they will even bear witness and they will provide testimony that we are telling the truth. This is another fine meaning that we can derive from the wording. That ask the village, meaning that we are so sure of our testimony and we're so truthful that even the rocks and the houses and the trees and everything of the village, they will provide testimony on our behalf. But the usual meaning is that ask the dwellers of the village, the people that live in the village. And the caravan in which we came in, meaning the dwellers of the caravan, the people of the caravan, not the actual camels and so on. But again, you can take the same meaning here, that you even if the camels were given a tongue, they would provide testimony on our behalf. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ So again, the meaning is, ask the village in which we were in and the caravan in which we came, وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ Indeed, we are truthful. And again, there's a lot of emphasis here. إِنَّا, it is for stress. The lam is for stress. And صَادِقُونَ, it is in the form of, it's in the form of a noun, which provides even more emphasis. So three forms of emphasis saying that indeed we are truly truthful. There is no doubt about it. So this is now they are actually standing in front of Yaqub alayhi salam. And I've mentioned before that the Quran doesn't go into useless details. It goes from point to point straight away. So the brother told them, go to your father, explain the situation to him, and basically now they've done that, exactly as the brother said, and now Yaqub alayhi salam is speaking. So this is known as ijaz, ijaz of the Quran, keeping the point to point and not going into extra detail, which is useless. So Yaqub alayhi salam said, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. In fact, your nafs has made this situation very easy for you. There are two meanings of sawwala. Sawwala, when it is connected to the shaytan, it means that the shaytan led you astray. And also in this context, we can use the same meaning, that your nafs led you astray. Meaning when it came to Yusuf alayhi salam, you were jealous of him, and your nafs, it led you astray. But also, sawwala can mean that when you take something very easy, okay, you lose a lot of money and you take it easy, and you have a loss of life and you take it easy, like it's no big deal. So this can also mean that. سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Yaqub alayhi salam is saying that, look, I've lost three sons now. Three sons, they are not with me, and now, obviously, and you people, the rest of my sons, are taking it so easy. You're not making it, you're thinking that it's not a big deal. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. So, sabr jameel is what I need to adopt, which is I have to adopt patience. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring all of them back to me. So, the third son is the one that is being referred to. He didn't simply refer to Yusuf and Binyamin, but the third one also he's referring to, that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring them all back to me. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Indeed, he is al-alim, meaning all-knowing, and al-hakim, all-wise. وَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ. And he turned away from them, and he said, Oh my loss upon Yusuf. Ya asafa, it is a terminology which is used in Arabic, and it is used to denote sorrow and to denote that a person is very upset. So he said, oh, woe is me in the situation of Yusuf. So again, the question is, why again Yusuf? Binyamin has been lost, the third son is lost, but why Yusuf again? So the answer to that question, the Mufassirin say, that Binyamin was very similar to Yusuf alayhi salam in his features and so on, and he reminded him of Yusuf. So now the loss of Binyamin reinvigorated in him the loss of Yusuf. So he started thinking of Yusuf again. Maybe that sorrow had gone down a little bit, but now the loss of Binyamin has reinvigorated that sorrow, and he is upset about Yusuf alayhi salam again. So he said, Ya asafa ala Yusuf, وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. And his eyes became white out of sorrow, meaning he cried so much that the darkness of the eyes, it became white. And according to some understandings, he actually became blind. So, and this later on we find that the return of Yusuf alayhi salam and his shirt made him retrieve his eyesight. So, إِبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. His eyes became white out of sorrow. فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. While he is kaleem, it means a person who swallows his and keeps his sorrow and his grief inside. So while he's keeping his grief inside, he's also crying, and he's also losing his eyesight at the same time. So the question some people might ask is, how is it that he's a prophet and he is crying over the loss of his sons? Shouldn't he have sabr and shouldn't he be patient? So the answer to that question is that there is a natural type of sorrow that Islam does not forbid us from displaying. And that sorrow is to cry in a natural way, to express one's sorrow in a natural way. The thing that is prohibited is to make a sound and scream and shout, scratch your face and slap your face and tear your clothes, and put sand on your head. This is what used to go on in the days of Jahiliyyah, and even now, if you go to some places, this is done a lot of times it is just women acting and basically just making noise because of tradition. Okay, so that is what is prohibited. It is mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ, when his son Ibrahim was passing away, he had him in his lap, and he was his son was breathing his last, and he started crying. So the Sahaba around him, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, didn't you forbid us from crying at the loss of someone?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "No, this is not what I prohibited you from. The prohibition that I prohibited you from, the thing that I prohibited you from, was to cry and to wail and to make noise and to scratch your face, slap your face, to rip your clothes. This is the thing that I have forbidden you from." And according to another riwayah, it is this very famous thing of the Prophet ﷺ, when he is addressing Ibrahim ﷺ as he is dying, he said, "Inna al-'ayna tadma," indeed the eye flows with tears, "wal qalb," and the heart, it is upset, it is grieving. "Wala naqulu illa ma yurdi rabbana," we will not say anything except that is pleasing to our Lord. "Wa inna ala firaqika ya Ibrahimu lamahzunun," indeed, O Ibrahim, we are upset at your loss, at the fact that we're losing you, O Ibrahim, we are really upset. So this is narrated from when he's losing his son. And as we know, as I've mentioned many times before, the Prophet ﷺ actually lost all of his children except Fatima before he passed away. So just imagine how many times he had to go through that same grief over and over again, that difficulty that one has to endure. The natural inclination for one person is to think that I should pass away before my children, and my children should be the ones to bury me. But when you have to bury your own children, that is extremely difficult for a person. So the fact that the Prophet ﷺ had to go through it so many times, and he had to have this grief so many times. So this grief is a natural grief at the loss of one's children, and this is not something that is forbidden and prohibited in Sharia. Sharia is about natural instinct and following nature. To stop oneself from crying forcefully, it is against nature. It is against what your body wants to do. And when a person tries to hold himself so much and he doesn't let himself go and doesn't allow himself to cry, that is actually worse for a person. Mentally, a person becomes very disturbed when that happens. So the fact that Yaqub alayhi salam is upset and he's crying, this is not against nature, and it was perfectly fine, and we should not have any objection to it. So the people around him, they started saying, "Qalu tallahi tafta'u tadhkuru Yusufa hatta takuna haradan aw takuna min al-halikin." They said, "We swear by Allah, you're going to continuously remember Yusuf." Tafta'u tadhkuru Yusuf, this is known as fi'l naqis in Arabic. You're going to continuously remember Yusuf hatta takuna haradan, until you're going to become harad. Harad, specifically, it means that a person becomes sick to such a degree that he becomes close to death. Okay, that is what the word harad means. So you're going to become so sick that you're going to take yourself to your grave, أو تكون من الهالكين, or you're going to be from the people that are destroyed. So halik also means the same thing, to become destroyed and to die in grief. And the word harad, it is to become sick, so much so that a person becomes close to death, or أو تكون من الهالكين, or you will actually die and you will leave this world. So basically they told him to calm down and not to be so upset. Inshallah we'll continue with the next ayah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.